time to say a very good morning to Unetsi, talking nutrition this morning. Unetsi, good morning on this very chilly Thursday morning.
Good morning, Wayne.
And our topic for today?
So this morning we are going to speak about psoriasis. So I'm sharing a piece that was written by the University of Stellenbosch, mm-hmm. but I think this disease, for me, falls into the, when it comes to nutrition, it falls into the category almost of irritable bowel syndrome.
Okay.
Because there's so many various factors, and, you know, it's almost like trial and error and a little bit of vagueness in between. But nevertheless, it seems like there's something we can do about it. So psoriasis is actually a skin disorder. So psoriasis is a T-cell-mediated inflammatory dermatology disorder. So this disease has baffled doctors for sort of many years. And the condition generally starts at any time in your life. And it starts with a few red spots that will cover the skin.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes with some raw, flaky skin all over the body. So, and also the severity, obviously, of this disease will differ from person to person. And what happens really is it's caused by an abnormality of the skin, which increases both in the skin cells that mm-hmm. are produced for us, obviously. So your skin, like your skin cells are produced, but then there's too much of them and they grow too fast to the outside of the skin. So that's basically, in layman's term, what happened. And this increased cell production then is what caused the characteristic signs of the psoriasis.
Okay.
So it looks like dry, reddy patches all over the skin. And some people, it might even be silvery and scaly. And it can develop really at any part of your body. And mostly people will experience it in your elbows, your knees, nails, maybe lower back, and even your scalp. And then in severe cases, this disease can result in an inadequate nutritional status. But this inadequate nutritional status really will develop because of the treatment that are given to treat the psoriasis. So the drugs that sometimes are given will influence your protein uptake, your folate, and any like vitamin B12. So it will compromise the body's ability to absorb those nutrients. So then therefore it becomes, for us as dietitians, it becomes something that we then have to look at if it's somebody that suffers of this, because we need to then supplement the diet basically with these things that are lost due to the lack of the medication that are taken.
Okay. So the medication is almost has a side effect.
Has got a side effect that's got a nutritional impact
in
the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Then the causes of this, it seems like psoriasis might be caused by the fact that your body doesn't really have the ability to metabolize arachidonic acid. So arachidonic acid is a polyunsaturated fat, which is, we find in omega-6 fatty acids, mainly from animal products. So because the body then has got an issue with the arachidonic acid that caused the leukotrienes, and then the leukotrienes, and basically the metabolism, there's why you will then present with the symptoms of something like psoriasis. Not only this, also autoimmune disorder. So it can be an autoimmune thing. So it means if you have an autoimmune disorder, it can be various things, but it basically means that it's your own body that is affecting that specific thing to happen. So your body fights a certain thing and then that happens. Or stress, environmental factors, as well as different hormones, maybe drugs, infections, and sunlight can also cause this. Although, with all of that said, they say that there's obviously not enough scientific evidence basically about all of this. So some of these other causes are not widely accepted by people, but those are the things that can contribute, or maybe they just trigger that specific arachidonic cycle that we, or you know, like almost increase that. Because if your body is under stress, obviously your ability to function is not really that great. So it might be a trigger of this arachidonic acid metabolism. Then, although the reason why we have to sort of look at this, because obviously it impacts the quality of life of these people, and then it seems like 10% of these patients actually can develop an arthritis,
mm-hmm.
which is documented as a long-term complication of psoriasis if we don't try and sort of, you know, just not that you can prevent it or cure it, but
mitigate.
At least you can, yes,
mm-hmm.
the symptoms. Then just for people to tell the listeners out there the types. So the one is called a plaque psoriasis. So that affects 90% of all people that suffers from the psoriasis. So the skin develops clearly defined patches of pink, red, and white skin, and that's that flaky, dry, crusty sort of skin. So 90% of this population will have that sort of symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Then you also get psoriasis, which is the first signs, which is just small little dots all over the skin and mainly on the body, limbs, or the scalp. Then maybe in older women, you can expect something like, they call it flexural psoriasis. It means it's in the folds of your body. So maybe inside the arms or behind your knees, but it will be just a round, red, inflamed spot, not necessarily scaly. So that they call flexural psoriasis. And then there's then nail psoriasis, which is more common in people over the age of 40. And is strongly linked with the development of a psoriatic psoriasis. And it basically means that the nails become ridged and they might lift away from the finger.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nail psoriasis. And then in adults, mostly you get something which they called localized pustular-filled psoriasis. So it's small little spots that's obviously filled with some pus. And it's mainly under the inside your palms, underneath your sole. And it might resist therapy. So it seems like this is not something that's very easily treated.
Mm.
And then 6% of all people that are sufferers might then develop this psoriatic arthritis that I spoke about earlier. And what makes this different than your normal arthritis is people with normal arthritis, it's mainly one limb that one limb that gets inflamed, but mm-hmm. yeah, an entire finger or an entire toe might, a joint. So generally it's the joints, but with this, it's an entire finger or an entire toe.
Okay.
Will get red and inflamed. And mostly you'll find it in your hands, your feet, your spine, and your neck.
Mm-hmm. So those are the areas most likely to be affected by arthritis if you have this condition?
Yes, yes. And then people with normal arthritis, only the joint, but then the differentiation between psoriatic psoriasis and the normal one is it might be a whole finger or a whole toe, for instance, that will become red and inflamed.
Right.
And then, like I said, with the treatment, generally people give creams to apply topically or then drugs, which have a immunosuppressive property, and this might improve the symptoms of psoriasis. And the drug that they mostly give will be methotrexate, but then unfortunately this drug then causes a reduction in our vitamin B12 and folic acid status, and this might cause megaloblastic anemia. So that's then obviously where nutrition is really important. And it may also cause things like nausea, abdominal pain, mouth ulcers. And it seems like if you take a folic acid supplement, it might improve the symptoms that counteract all the side effects of methotrexate.
Okay.
And then obviously nutrition, there's something that we can do when it comes to nutrition. There might be a link with allergies, maybe gluten, but this is not as strongly linked to psoriasis than it's linked to eczema. So this is, then you will go for a RAS test or an ELISA test. So you will actually go for an allergy test to see if you've got that intolerance, but it's mostly really with eczema, not necessarily with psoriasis. And then what we do know about something that we can do with nutrition is obviously omega-3. So omega-3 is anti-inflammatory. So it's a group of unsaturated fatty acids. So we call it EPA and DHA, and it's abundant in our fishes. So salmon, mackerel, herring, tuna, snook, trout, sardines, pilchards. So the EPA and DHA together then shows a reduction in the inflammation. And because there's a drop in the inflammation, that's why you will basically see an improvement in the symptoms of psoriasis.
Okay.
The dose is rather high, so you should aim for 3 grams, which is 3,000 milligrams of EPA. So I think if you are somebody that wants to supplement EPA, it's obviously important to look at what brand you are buying, what type of EPA do they have in there, and then what amount of EPA are you actually taking so that it can then help with the inflammation in your body. So it seems like EPA might be a better option than the methotrexate in like reducing the amount of inflammation in the body. And there's also sort of rumor that some things like evening primrose oil might help, but it seems like that's not really the oil to take. You should rather go for something like your fish oil, which is EPA. And then in the type of foods that we consume, also very important. So you want to take the basic normal healthy guidelines, like whole wheat grains, some fruit and vegetables. And with the focus of fruit and vegetables of the ones rich in vitamin A and rich in vitamin C. So if we look at the ones that are rich in beta carotene, it would mean things like carrots, apricots, sweet potato. And in the vitamin C options, broccoli, orange, cabbage, guavas, tomatoes, sweet peppers. And if you think about the arachidonic acids, which is then coming from animal fat mostly, it would just make total sense that your diet must be low in animal fat. So for these people, a diet definitely low in fat, low in saturated fats coming from animals. So you would rather want to move your focus towards monounsaturated fatty acids. So you would want to take your fats from plant origins or fruits. So I'm thinking avocado, peanut butter, because it's anti-inflammatory, and then naturally from the fishes, and that you would rather want to get your fats from. And then in those people that's been diagnosed with a gluten sensitivity, it will be beneficial to then follow a gluten-free diet, because obviously if you are intolerant to that, that will, if you then eat gluten, it will increase the inflammatory response in your body, which will not be favorable for your psoriasis at the end of the day.
Okay.
And just for interest's sake, if we look at the sources of omega-3 fatty acids in terms of ranking from top to bottom, we've got sardines in sardine oil with the most amount of DHA and EPA. Then high-fat fishes like herring or butterfish. Third in line would be salmon. Then you'll get mackerel, and then pilchards in brine, herring and anchovy. And then smoershnook is probably the least in the list. But those are the fishes. If you've got some of those available, the idea would be to actually try and eat them 3 times a week to get the proper amounts of omega-3s, as well as then take your supplements of omega-3. I think it's just important, if you aim for those high doses of omega-3 fatty acids, if we look at 3,000 milligrams, just make sure that the omega-3 supplement that you take does not have vitamin A, D, and E with included in that specific supplement, because vitamin A, D, and E is fat-soluble vitamins. So just taking us back to the vitamins of earlier this year, fat-soluble vitamins get stored in the body. So it's not like if I take a high amount, it gets excreted in the urine. It actually gets stored in the liver. So it's quite important that we don't really overdo that, not more than 150% of the recommended day allowance for these specific vitamins. So then maybe try and get omega-3 supplements that don't have these vitamins added into your supplement.
Well, that makes sense. Otherwise, you could inadvertently be creating other problems
issues.
And you know, things that you need to deal with.
And that's pretty much it. So you have to have a low-fat diet, rich in omega-3 fatty acids, and maybe take a supplement of folic acid with then fruits and vegetables that will be rich in vitamin C and beta carotene.
And that is how you'd, I wouldn't use the word treat the condition, because obviously that's what the doctor would prescribe certain medication for, but you can help the condition.
Yeah, so unfortunately, there's not a cure. You can treat the symptoms. And then obviously with the nutrition part of it would actually be to try and decrease the inflammation and not fuel the problem that with the arachidonic metabolism. So if we can help, if you can sort of support that metabolic pathway in your body and reduce the amount of inflammation in your body with what you eat, then you basically just assist the body and sort of take some of the stressors away that will then obviously make that the symptoms because of that will be less. So maybe a less flaky skin, less inflamed joints, or just the prevention of the trigger at all.
So it's pretty complex. And once again, that would be a process that you would probably deal with between your doctor and, in your, this case, as the example, your nutritionist.
Definitely, maybe dermatologist, which is obviously specialized in skin conditions, and then those in conjunction with dietitians will be your best way, really, of sort of preventing the symptoms.
Right. Or would it, as you say, preventing the symptoms, which would pretty much just make it more tolerable, because as you said, the condition itself won't go away.
No, so we can just sort of prevent the triggers, make it more tolerable, and hopefully just get it at a point where it's under control, that it doesn't influence your quality of life. And if we can prevent it, also you will, because arthritis is an inflammatory process, if we can prevent the inflammation, you can also prevent those symptoms or the severe symptoms, which might be worst case psoriatic arthritis.
And make it, as you say, more tolerable, and reduce the effects on your life.
Yes, and I think it's important, if you suffer from this, to read up about it, see if you can find the triggers in your life, and then prevent those. Sort of try and prevent those triggers so that you don't really have the symptoms at the end of the day. Maybe you can get to such a point where you don't really present with the flare up of a skin condition. I think it's important for everybody to figure out what is their trigger, what really is the problem, because it will be different for any for everybody out there.
And that's a process very similar to dealing with a lot of things, like for instance allergies or any other triggered conditions.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, well, very, very interesting. And, you know, one of those, you know, sort of conditions that, and research is being done about it, because these statistics and details came from Stellenbosch.
Yes, and I think obviously there's so much research that can still be done in this area that we don't actually know. So a very, very interesting disease, and I think there's still a lot to learn in future about this.
About it. Well, Anetsi, thank you very, very much. Interesting once again. And if somebody wants to get in touch, you know, maybe they are dealing with a condition and they need to tweak their diet and their lifestyle to maybe alleviate some of the symptoms, how do they get in touch with you?
more than welcome to contact me on 084-609-3989, or they can find me on Instagram at @unetsi.
Great. Unetsi, thank you very much. Look forward to chatting again next week, Thursday.
Thanks so much, Wayne.
Cheerio then. It's Unetsi with today's Nutrition Chat. And of